Praise the Lord for the privilege that we may believe as the scripture says and may experience what the scripture promised us. If we think on our Lord, then we know that every word that was written concerning Him was fulfilled on Him. He and the Word totally agreed. He was the Word made flesh. In the same way, we in these days must become aware of that we have become a part of the Word, that we in this time were placed into God's plan of salvation, and that we may experience this last phase of the plan of salvation personally. We have heard already many things, are overwhelmed of that, what God said unto us through His Word, and also of that what God has done. When Brother Pesal said just now, the Bible is an old book but becomes new to us daily. But one thing I want to tell you, in this very old book, things are written that from today, even up until eternity, will be realized. This old book contains the whole counsel of God. There is no comparable book on earth. There's only one book in which God speaks, in which God has set forth His plan, and this is the Holy Scripture. And I would like, especially all who are newly added, who cannot yet believe and who are about to make their decision, to you I want to say humbly, we do not represent any Christian denomination, but have only one single request, to preach the Word of God in such a way as it was left unto us in the Holy Scripture. In connection with this, I have a request. Leave your own ways and your own thoughts. Submit to God. Walk on the narrow way that leads to life and accept that what God has said. And separate yourselves from all religious traditions. Because it is possible that one sits under the sound of the Word and at the same time thinks his own thoughts. In this way, we don't get to the goal. We must, under the sound of the Word, be penetrated by the divine thoughts. And everything else, as already said, to put it aside. We have more than 300 different Christian directions. In which direction shall we then go? All think they are in the right. We can only go in one direction, and this has to be the divine, if we want to reach the goal. And to this, may God give us grace. I have made this remark already in view to the water baptism, on which we will also talk about later. We know how differently it is being taught there and practiced. We must go back to the beginning, to that what took place in the early church. For this we are here, not to say what others said, but to proclaim what our brothers proclaimed at the beginning. Today, I would like to read a number of scriptures, and I hope that God's word accomplishes in all of us for what it was sent for. Last night, Brother Marco Vori phoned me and sends heartfelt greetings to all of you, and herewith I have extended them. We read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, from verse 22. Acts, chapter 2, from verse 22. Please bear with me when I speak today slowly because of the translation. If one speaks fast, then all the translators have a hard time to pass on. And we also emphasize this: the authority is not in the voice or in the volume. The authority is in the Word of God itself, and every person who receives the Word in himself, and it is quickened to him by the Spirit, he will feel and experience this divine authority. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So far from this sermon, the Lord of life loosed the pains of death and rose on the third day, and for all of us he conquered death, so that nobody has to be afraid anymore. Death is something cruel, something ruthless, and the Holy Scripture says, because all have sinned, death has come to all men, and death is the wages of sin. But there came one on whom sin had no right, but took all our sin upon himself, to die our death, to go down for us. As I said many times, we should have gone down into hell, but he went down so that we can be taken up into the glory of God. Beloved, he who gets the whole redemption transfigured by the Spirit of God, him the tears will roll down. He gets touched on his inside. And we say to us, Lord, what made you to redeem us and to walk such a way, to bear the crown of thorns, to endure mocking and scorn, to then be crucified in the most cruel way? All this happened for your and my sake. After all, we were lost, without God and without hope in this world. We could have never come to God if God would not have come to us. We could have never been transferred back into the divine state if God would not have put off his divinity and put on the shape of a man to die here in the body of flesh for us who we are in the body of flesh, and to finish the work of redemption for us, to redeem us from the fleshy perishability and mortality, and to transfer us back into immortality, to make children of God out of children of men. It was a high price that was paid. And Peter writes in his epistle, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious and holy blood of the Lamb of God. It was a high price, a precious price, but those for whom this price was paid, they are also precious in the eyes of God. You all know, if a high price is paid, then the thing for what it was paid for must have a value, a great value, so valuable we were in the eyes of God, that the greatest and highest price was paid for us. From then on, we don't belong to ourselves anymore, but to him who purchased us, who made us his own possession. And my wish is to God that today the last ones in our midst would be grabbed by this love of God, by this all-embracing love of God, and would abandon their own ways and walk on the way of God that leads to life. Now, two scriptures from the Old Testament. The one from Hosea 13, Hosea 13, verse 14. Here it is written of the Lord, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. What a wonderful word. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Because all men sinned, therefore death swallowed them all up, pulling them down. But many among them have put their hope in the coming Messiah, in this hope that he would come and redeem them, they fell asleep. The hope has not put them to shame. They did not wait in vain. When the hour came and the Lord died on Calvary, he brought redemption and descended into the lower parts, and to them who did not believe, he bore witness to them. And then he went over into paradise, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob where all they were who have put their hope in the Redeemer, as we heard it yesterday in the sermon of Brother Branham, Job, and all these men of God, they waited, for in them was a living hope in the living God, and yet death took them. But now came he who took death away. Now came he who had the sting of death in him, yes. But then, at the same time, he bruised the head of the serpent, and who descended to all them who were in prison to lead them out and to take captivity captive. Here it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. What was it? God could not have pity with death and hell and devil. God had pity on you and on me. And therefore, he has taken away the power from death. He conquered hell and won the victory over the devil to bring us redemption and deliverance. In the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verse 8, it says, Isaiah 25, verse 8, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Amen. He promised it. He promised it. And therefore it also took place. Let us read other scriptures in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, the resurrection was in particular described. I read from verse 19, John 20, from verse 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and says unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Then were the disciples glad because they saw the Lord. The women said on the way to the grave, Who will roll away the stone for us? When they came there, the stone was already rolled away. There was nobody anymore in the grave. The Lord has risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He died. He was buried. He went down to hell. He conquered everything. He defeated everything. And he rose from the dead on the third day. And he said to John on the Isle of Patmos, perhaps I should read it so that we have the exact words. Revelation chapter 1, here it says in verse 17, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. May the same Lord today lay his right hand upon each one of us and say to us these words insistently, as he told them to John at that time. Fear not. You all know, fear is connected with unbelief and with doubt. There is so much fear among the people of God. May God take away the fear from us, and may he give us reverence before him and before his holy word. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. On Calvary, the perfect love of God was manifested, and if we were redeemed, then this love shall also be manifested in us, because we are already in Revelation chapter 1. Let me here read from the first chapter some other verses, namely from verse 5, Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Him who loved us and who redeemed us through his blood from our sins, and not only redeemed, but made us kings and priests. Peter writes, ye are the royal priesthood, to bring unto God living and well-pleasing sacrifices. And also this is already written, that we should offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We should thank God with all our hearts for everything what he has done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us read on. We continue with the scripture from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I would like on purpose read these precious scriptures which show us Calvary and that what happened through it. Philippians chapter 2. From verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful word! Also this, what is written here, one day it will have become reality. The hour will come in which every tongue shall confess by all them who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We confess it already today, as we heard it yesterday from the sermon. Every word was given that it at the appointed time finds fulfillment by force. That's how it will be also be with this. When the completion comes and when everything will be submitted unto him, then every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. What a day this will be! We can rely on it. No atheist, no communist, nobody will be able to escape this day and this hour. All will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah! Nobody will escape. If it's written here, every tongue, then every tongue is meant. And if it is written, every knee, then every knee is meant. Today, all are walking in a lofty way. Nobody kneels, nobody bows. But the hour comes where all things will bow and confess this one whom we rejected. This is the Lord, and his name is above every name. And also this, they will have to confess. Let us read from Colossians. Also, a very wonderful word. Colossians chapter 2. Here we read from verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, praise be to our God. You, who you were afar off in transgressions and so forth, you, God has quickened together with him. We spoke of the quickening power of God, and we have seen it on Jesus, the head of the church. This power of God was manifested, but not only on him, but on all of us, whom he redeemed and purchased, whom he pardoned. We were together with him crucified, we died, we were buried, and we were quickened together with him. We received new life, divine life. We're renewed and born again. This is a divine fact. but only then, when we believe what the scripture says here, it can be manifested in us and be a reality. If we only hear it, then it remains with hearing. But if we believe the heard things, then it becomes a reality in our lives. Hear it again. God has quickened you together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, not just some trespasses, but all. It is written in the prophet Isaiah, and though your sin would be red as blood, it shall become whiter than the snow. We have come out from unbelief and have received the faith, and we know it is finished. He has forgiven. He has reconciled. He has pardoned. Let us read on from Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 14. Oh, I ask you, connect every word of God with your faith in your heart. Let the word not just go forth. Let it penetrate into you. Believe it. Ponder on it. Experience it. That's what's all about. Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. What a grace, what a privilege. As long as the Lord was in the spiritual body, he could not feel with us who we are in the body of flesh. He could judge and say, this is not right, and this is sin, and this is wrong. But he could not understand us. He could not feel with us. But then he came into human flesh. He became like us. Oh, praise be to God. He did not redeem from heaven. He came on this earth. He became like us, so that we, as the redeemed, can then become like him. And therefore, John writes, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, then we will be like him. Hallelujah! Praise, honor, and glory be to the living God. He became like us. He became man. He was here on earth. He could now understand us. Today, I have good news for you. Since he himself became man and was tempted in all things as we, he has deep compassion with each one of us. He can no more condemn. He can no more judge. He can just intercede and mediate for us. And the blood speaks for us until we appear perfect before the throne of God, without spot and without wrinkle. This is the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is good news. Can you all believe it? Can you all accept it? Can you experience all this, what God promised us? Yes, for this purpose we are gathered, to not only hear all this, but to experience it. One more word concerning the resurrection and the connection which we received by it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did we all hear this well? Has borne us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If the Lord would only have died, if he would not have risen, then what would we say today? We should be silent. Then we would not have any message of God. We would not know what it is all about. The resurrection was the crowning of God's work of redemption for us. And we believe that our Lord died according to the scriptures, was buried, and according to the scripture, he rose on the third day from the dead. Already then, when the Lord walked this earth and came to the grave of Lazarus and said, he will rise. There Martha said, I know he will rise on the last day. And there it came over our Lord. And he said, I am the resurrection and life. He wanted to say, if I am here as the resurrection, then Lazarus must not wait until the last day. I, as the resurrection and life, I'm here. And he called out, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. How wonderful that our Lord did not only have words, but words and deeds were always in agreement. He was and is the resurrection and the life. He said, he who believes in me will live even if he dies. Death is still among mankind. But for believers, death is nothing cruel, but the agent to transfer us from time into eternity. We just change our place of residence. But for the unbelievers, death is something very cruel. We can cry out together with Paul, death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? We believe that God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. No one of you who is a believer needs to have fear of death. And whoever has still fear of death did not die yet with Christ. He who died with Christ and has received a new life, on him death has no power anymore. The sting of death was pulled out, and we have nothing to fear anymore. What wonderful words. I read on in 1 Peter 1, namely verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise God. We emphasized it. God has determined for everything a time. Here, it speaks of that we are born again unto a living hope, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that is reserved for us in heaven, that we were determined for salvation. And how does it say here in the last passage of the last verse? Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We believe that we live in the last time, and we believe that the return of Jesus Christ is very near, and we believe that the Lord calls out a church from all peoples, tongues, and nations, and at the end of the time of grace, it will then happen that the Lord returns with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and then the dead in Christ will rise first. And we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed, and together we will be taken up. Also this God will enforce, because it is written in his word. It will take place because God determined it and because it is written in his word. Now, we must briefly speak about water baptism and read to it a number of scriptures. In Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission was given. Here I read from verse 14, Mark 16 from verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and rebuked them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them who had seen him after he was risen. Let us stop here at this verse for a moment. There are people who experienced Jesus as the risen one, and they testify to others about it. Precious soul, believe these people. There are still people on earth today who experienced God. Believe this. There are people on earth who had an experience with God, who have seen Jesus Christ as the risen one, and who heard him and experienced Him. Do we have such in our midst? Amen. Most certainly. I experienced Him. I heard Him. And I've seen Him in various ways. He is risen. We are not false witnesses. We testify of the truth. Jesus Christ is alive. This is divine truth. We are true witnesses of God. Jesus said back then, "Ye are my witnesses." A witness must have seen something. And you know very well, the disciples and believers at that time, they have seen the Lord. They could testify of it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 about it, how the Lord appeared to individuals and then even more than 500 brothers at once. There the word brothers is written. He will declare His name to His brethren. Go and tell my brethren that I am risen from the dead. The Lord had said, a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. After His resurrection, no unbeliever has seen Him, but His brothers, they have seen Him. Those pardoned by God, they had fellowship with Him. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, it says that He was 40 days after His resurrection together with His disciples and spoke with them about the kingdom of God. I believe it. You also? I believe it. I believe that He spoke with His disciples about the kingdom of God. If we are today His true disciples, then He will speak today with us about the kingdom of God. He will be in our midst and work through His Spirit. But we have to grab it by faith and know that it still happens. The Lord rebuked their unbelief because they didn't believe them who have seen Him. Beloved, I say it once again. If a person has experienced the Lord and he gives testimony of it, believe it, accept it, and then you also will experience the Lord in the same way. We all have come to the faith by the testimony of others. The true believers gave testimony of their experience with God, and thus people came at all times to the faith. And the same is happening in our days. Now, we come to verse 15 and verse 16 in Mark 16. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. A very serious word. The baptism is just necessary for salvation. A person who became a believer may not resist to obey the word of God. He must, being urged by the Spirit of God, fulfill all the scripture and all righteousness, as our Lord said it at that time. So, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe, he does not let himself be baptized, and therefore can also not be saved. Of sprinkling of an infant with 3 drops of holy water, most certainly nothing is spoken of here. also not of a children baptism, something is said here. Here it is being said very clearly, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Firstly, the gospel must be preached, and all who hear it and who believe in Jesus Christ, they experience their salvation, and after they experience their salvation, they make the step of faith and obedience to be then baptized. Of course, since forced Christianization, opas and omas and infants were sprinkled with water, but this is not a biblical Christendom. Believe me, search in the Holy Scripture. You don't have to take what we say here. Search in the Holy Scripture, and there you will get the answer. He who goes to the Methodists gets their answer. He who goes to the Baptists, everyone can get a certain answer. I need the answer from God, and therefore I don't go to any church and to no scholar. I go to the doctrine of God, which we find in the Holy Scripture. Sometimes there are people who say, huh, somehow I will be saved. Precious heart, let me tell you urgently today, and this in the name of the Lord, please don't try it to get saved on your own way. For such a salvation does not exist. The disappointment at the end will be too terrible, and eternity is too long to go into it deceived. We return to the biblical pattern, and to this I look up Acts chapter 2. Here Peter preached his first sermon. Sometimes I marvel how the popes can think to be the successors of Peter and don't baptize at all like Peter baptized. This alone is a questionable thing. If I'm referring to Peter, then I would like to believe as he believed and baptize as he baptized, or not. Certainly. May God give us grace to it. Here, in Acts chapter 2, it's the long sermon on that day of Pentecost. And from verse 37, we read of the impact of this sermon as follows. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this perverse generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We see how it started. First the sermon, then the reception of that. What was said? Faith came by hearing of the sermon, and the sermon came from the word of God. And then came the decision. The people, under the preaching, they didn't reason intellectual. They were seized by God and made their decision. They didn't ask what the high council, what the churches would say, or what relatives would say. No, they made their decision. And it says here, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Especially for those who did not make yet this biblical step, today you have the opportunity for it. But he who has in his heart the firm decision to remain what he is, him we also cannot help. Even God cannot help him. God forces no one. God seeks, God calls. The answer you must give yourself. You yourself must come. If people don't count themselves worthy of eternal life and put their trust into a religious institution and think it was good for Opa and Oma and therefore it's also good for us. No, here we are dealing with God and God's word, and we proclaim the truth, and he who is of the truth, he heareth God's word. We cannot make any compromise, for then we spoil the matter of God, and it's no more genuine, and then we ourselves are pulled into perdition. Thanks be to God, who has given us such a clarity in his word. Sometimes it is hard to understand why people do not find the way of God. But this I can also tell you, the Lord, at that time, he rebuked the scribes very much, and he said, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You have closed the door and entered not in yourselves, and all them who wanted to enter, you have hindered. But now the way is free. The door is open. The veil was torn. Everyone can come and have an experience with God. Make today your decision for Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it's the most wonderful day for your and in your life. As a hymn writer sings, this was the most wonderful day that God ever gave me. For such who did not make yet their decision fully, this morning hour today is a very, very critical gathering. Before that, you had still an excuse. Now you don't have it anymore. Before, you didn't know it. Now you know it, and by it, a great responsibility comes upon you. I've said it many times. For many, it would have been better. They would have never come under the proclamation of the word. But we believe that God has led you here. I cannot believe that people come in such meetings unless that God plans something with them. Dear heart, this won't hurt you. What do you have to lose? You can just win. Stand on the side of God and say, Lord, here is my life. Today I receive and accept you as my personal Savior. Today I want by baptism make a covenant of a good conscience with God. Water baptism does not mean to put off the filth of the flesh, as Peter writes, but it is the covenant of a good conscience with God. Today you can receive a good conscience. Today all the torment and agony of soul can be taken out from you. All uncertainty, every doubt and unbelief, everything can be taken out from you today. Today you can become a true believing child of God. Receive it, accept it, believe it, that it is here for you, and it will be granted to you. Many would have been happy to hear the word of the Lord so clear, but now the time is here in which all these biblical truths were put brand new upon the lampstand and are proclaimed in the way as it was done in the times of the apostles. May now the Spirit of God work in every heart the clarity and the decision. May all who were not yet baptized in a biblical way, may they make use of this opportunity and be baptized biblically. We just call out, be ye reconciled with God. Be saved from this perverse generation. Come from the broad way upon the narrow way. Be ready to take reproach and despisement upon you, being certain that we then in glory will be crowned and will be with the Lord at all times. May God bless us all. Amen. Now we stand up, and afterward we will baptize. But first we sing the chorus, Just As I Am. We bow our heads, close our eyes, open our hearts. Beloved, we are here in the presence of God. We don't stand before men, but before the living God, before whom all men will appear for the judgment. Today, we have heard the gospel. Today, if we heard his voice, we shall not harden our hearts, but come to him today, not tomorrow, today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. His voice is his word. He called, he spoke, and you know it. You know it in your heart that it is true. You know that it's biblical. You know that it's right. Accept it today, and God will be with you. And from today on, the torment will stop. Joy and peace will enter your heart. From today on, you can be happy and saved. Give up the inner resistance and the inner battle. May it be brought unto victory by the grace of our God. Now, as all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, all hearts are open, I would like to ask, how many are here who would like to consecrate their lives to God and want to be baptized? Raise your hand briefly. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Maybe you come straight away to the front. All who would like to be baptized today, please come to the front. We sing once again, Just As I Am.
Noch einmal so wie
Beloved, just remain standing here. Beloved, you who have come to the front, you know what it is all about. Young man, how old are you? 13, God bless you. Dear sister, you believe that the Lord is your Redeemer, that He has forgiven your guilt, and that you became a child of God? With all your heart, God bless you. Young man, you believe it also, that the Lord is your Redeemer, has forgiven you and accepted you. Amen. Brother, you also believe with all your heart? With all your heart, God bless you. Dear brother, you also? Amen. Dear sister, you also believe it with all your heart? God bless you. Amen. You believe with all your heart? Amen. Do you believe? Dear sister, you also? Amen. You all believe it? Yes. Also you believe with all your heart that the Lord accepted you and that you are His possession? Amen. Amen. Now we pray together. I ask you all, dear brothers and sisters, to pray for them who get baptized. They start a new way of life. This day is of great significance in their lives. Almighty God, as the church, as your people, we come before your throne of grace. We rejoice with our brothers and with our sisters who have dedicated their lives to you, O Lord. Crown them now with grace and loving kindness. Let them feel that you loved them, that you redeemed them and pardoned them. May this day be a wonderful day in their lives. Lord, give them now perfect faith and perfect trust to you, O Lord, the assurance that you will be with them until they come from believing unto seeing. Lord, also we believe that you redeemed them, that you pardoned them, that you have drawn them to yourself. Lord, we believe that their sins are forgiven, their guilt is blotted out, that you accepted them. They are your possession for time and for eternity. We thank you with all our heart for all of them. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.